Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful as we come this morning and as we continue to worship you to just love on you as you have loved on us and ask in Jesus' name that in this hour that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would help us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I thank you and praise you and pray that the words of my heart, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your bulletin are some sermon notes. If you would take them out today, whether you write on this or not, generally, take out your sermon notes. Have something that you can write with because you'll need that a little bit later. And on the other side are some devotional scriptures that you can use throughout the course of this week to carry on what God is speaking to you about thematically. And as we come to this series called The Heart of Stewardship, it's based in part on a series by Dr. David Jeremiah. Now, we have learned a number of things in regard to stewardship over the last few weeks. First of all, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to the Master. And two, the Master puts us in charge of all that he gives us. He puts us in charge. That's what a steward is, someone who's in charge of his master's things. Number three, we use what the master gives us, how the master wants them used. He gives us gifts. He gives us abilities. He gives us talent. He gives us witness. But he wants us to use them. Now, as you know, too many people think of stewardship as a code word for what? Money. Right. And that when I refer to all that God gives to us, I'm referring to money as well. But everything God gives to us, everything, those gifts he gives to us, includes our time and our service, our love and our witness to God and to others, and so many more things than just money. But now that we've said money, our fourth concept of being a good steward is this. Our financial tithes are to go to God's work in the local church. And then if you have offerings above the tithes, those can go to other works of God in your area. But that's what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Now, this morning I asked you a question about firsts. About firsts in your life. What is a memorable first experience that you have had that has impacted you? When I took typing in the ninth grade, that was a first. Who knew how important typing would become to me as I would move on to become a programmer and analyst? And now I do a ton of writing. Who would have thought how important typing in that eighth grade or ninth grade class would have been on those typewriters? K, 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 L, 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 L. But what are some of your important firsts? What are some of them? Go ahead, I want to hear them. What were some of your important firsts? Yes. First day as a mom. How many people have had that first, huh? Not too many of you, huh? Or you're not willing to admit it. What other firsts have you had?
First play
you ever saw.
Ha
ha, when she got to read with the second graders. Mike?
Being baptized with my father.
Being baptized with your dad. Anyone else? Come on, someone from over here. Be brave. Yes?
My first goal in soccer.
Your first goal in soccer. Yes, we've got a soccer player over here.
First day of ballet.
First day of ballet. Donna?
First job.
First job. First time to see the Grand Canyon, that magnificent creation of God. How about first kiss, huh? Yeah, Frank, thank you. It could have something to do with going to class or your first time graduating from one grade, going to the next, your first car, giving you some freedom to go places. Your first job, which gets you some cash to do some things you've never done. Your first date. All of these All of these are important to us as individuals, and some first we have to note in life set the course for good directions, like our first time going to church, or our first time reading the Bible or hearing the Scripture, our first time praying to God, our first communion, our first confirmation. All of those are things that have set a course in our lives for God. Even the first time a prayer was not answered. That sets a course. That sets a course. But as in all things, some of the courses that have been set by our firsts are not necessarily good. Like that first time you strike a match and puff into a cigarette. Or my dad, he was a drinker. I recognized at one point in my early 20s that I could easily become like my dad, abusing alcohol, but I decided not to. That was the first. Or there are other aspects of first that we all share. And when I think of some of the other ones that lead to difficulty, there are many things that surround money. First, like gambling. I remember playing penny poker. And where could that have led? Maybe to slot machines, and then maybe who knows. But a lot of people lose money in big numbers because of gambling. Or shopaholics. Man, you just can't stop buying stuff, whether you need it or not. Or how about first time you lied? I didn't do that. Right? Little white lies lead into bigger lies. How about cheating? Cheating is often done as a result of wanting to look good in front of others. Or to obtain something that you don't have. I remember when my dad caught me cheating at euchre, stealing the deal. Oh man, I have never stole the deal since. Material possessions, not so much about who has the most toys wins, but having more possessions than you know what to do with. Just to make you look good in the eyes of others. How about lust? We often think of lust in terms of pornography, which doesn't lead to anything good or holy. But lusting after what is not yours, coveting, always wanting, but never content. All of these things lead to future difficulties, and in part we fall into these habits, these thoughts, because guess what? We're human. We're human. And others will say, hey, nobody cares. It's all right. Or it won't hurt you. Or probably what is most prevalent today, it's okay as long as you don't hurt anyone else. And we fall into these things because we're not taught anything differently or what is right. We don't know what is really good for us. And because we're not sure what God says on the matter, we'll believe anyone else who has a PhD behind their name. And no matter how godly or how biblically what they say comes out of their mouth. So not only do some first set good directions, we have to recognize that some first in life set the course for bad directions in life. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful. What are the instructions we should follow in this thing we call life? What we think is right or wrong in our eyes is one thing, but we should be thinking, what is right or wrong in God's eyes? What is right or wrong in God's eyes? And of course, this isn't new. In the Corinthian church, they needed to be taught or instructed as well on how to set the right direction, the right course in their lives with Jesus. How to be good stewards to God or for God. They needed to know what was truly at the heart of stewardship. And the Apostle Paul starts or shares with them about a church in Macedonia. Read it with me. Wow. There it is. Read it with me. They gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And it goes on to say, they urgently pleaded for us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. I don't know if it struck you, but there's two phrases in here. One was their overflowing joy welled up in rich generosity, and the other one was they pleaded for the privilege of sharing. When was the last time you pleaded to do something? Probably when we were little, right? And these suggest one thing to me. That these people, the church at Macedonia, that they had a depth in their relationship to God, a deep and abiding personal relationship that knew God's heart, that knew God's desires. They knew what God had gifted them to do for these people in need, and they desired, guess what, to do it. They desired to do it. And as stewards of God, our Master wants us to use the resources, the abilities, our time, our money, all of the gifts that He's given us to help others. And it is so that we can experience the joyful privilege of sharing ourselves and what the Master wants us to do. And this joy comes when we do it because of a deep and abiding relationship with God. And so we have to note about the Macedonian churches that they gave to others out of their deep and abiding love relationship with God. Their deep and abiding love relationship with God. Paul then goes on to tell us a secret, a very hush-hush reason for their generosity, even in the midst of their own challenges. And this reason, it's a reason many of us have maybe never consciously thought about in our own lives, but is the motivation that spurs them on to be good stewards for God. Ready? This is the secret. Read it with me. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Did you get it? It's right there. Paul's expectations were exceeded in their generosity. That's like getting the unexpected gift from a grandparent. Instead of a card, they give you $5,000. Wow! To help you meet your needs. Not only the generosity of the gift, but also the joy of being able to give the gift. We forget about that. To help others in any way, by our prayers, by our presence, by our gifts, by our service. Not only to be a blessing to others, but to receive the joy as a giver. And the secret is twofold. Jeremiah calls it the principle of prior consecration. The principle of prior consecration. It begins first when we give yourself first to the Lord. When we give ourselves first to the Lord. And then secondly, we give ourselves fully to the will of God. Fully to the will of God. First, you have to give yourself to the Lord. And then you have to give yourself fully to the will of God. This principle of prior consecration is really nothing new for us. For instance, when I was working for a summer church camp, I was 18, 19 years old in the day, and I was given the task of digging out households. That was me. And what made it really a drag for me was not digging the holes. It was that I was working by myself. It wasn't that it was a stinky job, but there was nobody else to talk with while I was digging. Now, understand, I had given myself to the betterment of the camp. I wanted this place to help people to relax, to find nature and to find God. Well, maybe not so much to find God in that day. And truly, I was willing to do whatever it took to make this a good place to be. And this is the concept of prior consecration. It's the commitment to do something and the willingness to do whatever it takes to get it done. It's the people who are committed to helping others who willingly run into dangerous situations, even when their own lives may be at risk. That's prior consecration. They've already committed themselves to doing something, even if it creates a risk factor. In the context of the Corinthians, Paul is saying because the Macedonian churches committed themselves to the Lord first, they were willing to give of themselves completely to what the Lord wanted them to do. Even when it was beyond their perceived abilities, which also means the opposite is true. If the Macedonian churches would have struggled to give to the Lord, whether it was their time, their worship, their presence, or their money, it may have been that they had not first given themselves to the Lord. Does that make sense? So when we do not give ourselves, we have to note, when we do not give ourselves, it is due to not maybe having given ourselves to the Lord first. When we do not give of ourselves, it is due to not having given ourselves to the Lord first. When we worship God irregularly, maybe we haven't really given ourselves to the Lord. When we pray sparingly, when we serve occasionally, when we give sparingly, when we don't tell others of Jesus, it could be very well that we have not given ourselves completely to the Lord or to fully follow God's will. Now, I asked you earlier about those first moments in your life where there was a first time, and I spoke about typing as a very positive thing and drinking as a very negative thing. But I remember a time when I moved from looking from the outside of the church to the inside, from going once in a while to going every Sunday, never going to service to also attending Sunday school, from never opening a pew Bible to going out and getting my own Bible and beginning to read it for myself, bringing it to church every Sunday. From listening to the preacher to eventually asking God to speak to me through the words of the preacher. From having others teach me to teaching others. From sharing Jesus with those at church to begin sharing Jesus with those outside of the church. From being discipled to beginning to disciple others. From being prayed for to praying for others. From being served to serving others. From focusing on getting my needs met in a worship service to focusing on seeing that others get their needs met, to encounter God, from being a taker to being a giver. First, or prior consecration, leads us to do, not to take in. It's that moment when all things changed for me, a night when I said to God, I give you who I am, all of me, I give it to you. I am no longer mine, but I am yours, Lord. And unknowingly, I began to set up and follow this principle of prior consecration. I was consecrating myself fully to the Lord. And as I did that, I began to fully seek God's will for my life. I stepped off the throne of my heart and said, Jesus, this is your seat from now on. Whatever you want me to do, I'll try to do. In that moment, my heart was pounding outside of my chest. It's not something to take lightly. It was that moment when I had to take a deep breath, and then I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this for you because I know it's best for me. A kind of a selfish move when you think about it, right? I knew that the Lord knew what was best for me, and who doesn't want the best, right? Because I knew if I were to do this, if I were to say, Jesus, you're on the throne and I'm not, everything would change for me, everything. How I saw myself, how I saw other people, how I saw money, how I saw the use of my time, how I saw the church, and then also how I saw God. This made all the difference in how I looked upon the Christian life as a follower of Jesus. You know, somebody can come along and they go to church every Sunday and they do something that just is so hypocritical. And everyone else in the church is going, look at them. Man, they are just so terrible Christian. But I asked God, God, let me see through your eyes. And you know what I saw? I didn't see a terrible Christian. I began to see someone who was hurting. Someone who was caught in, in sin or in bondage that was unable to move past it. Maybe they had not consecrated themselves fully to the Lord in that particular area. And so they were still acting as though they were living in the world. It made a difference in how I looked at the Christian life, how I acted, how I thought, how I would make decisions in all areas of my life. And as I've thought about it, I've seen the various steps or phases or doors that I've walked through as I've continued to commit myself more and more to the Lord. More and more to being a better steward for all that God has given me. And there were steps I took in getting to the place where I finally consecrated myself, all that I am, all that I was, and all that I had to the Lord. There were steps leading up to that moment too. Each step was simply a deeper commitment in my journey with God to become all that God wants me to go to become, to be fully utilized by God, to be my best me. And there have been more steps of learning since that time of committing and doing and serving God wherever I have been planted. Friends, my heart beats for God. It beats. Every beat is for God. Jesus is everything for me. Every breath is due to His sacrificial love. What more could a person want? And God the Father is so good to me. He's the best Father I have ever known. The Holy Spirit continues to guide and direct me to do good and to pick me up when I've screwed up. And Jesus, well, Jesus, He's the example. As Paul goes on to say in Corinthians in verse 8, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. How? How does Paul want to test the sincerity of your love and my love? He wants to compare. We could by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And that is such a trap. If I'm better than one other person, then I'm good enough, right? All I have to do is be, what's the joke? That's right. If there's a bear chasing you, what do you have to do to not get hurt? Just be faster than one other person. But it's such a trap. If I go to church two times a month, that's better than others who only go once a month. Or if I have a Bible, it's better than those who do not. Even if I don't read it, I've got a Bible. Comparing yourself to others is always a terrible idea. Terrible. But Paul wants to make some type of comparison, so he goes on to say, not with other people. Listen to who he has us make a comparison to. Well, in fact, read it with me. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. As I have given myself over and over and over again to the Lord, I have experienced more blessings and joy in serving Him than I've ever experienced in being served. Boy, if I compare myself to one person who goes to church and I have done one thing more than they have, I don't receive more joy. I receive joy in serving. The comparison is not with anyone else, it's with the Lord. Who had everything, everything. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Who are you going to become poor for? Who is it that you need to serve? Who is it that you need to just take a little bit of step off the throne that you've been standing on saying, look at me, so that you can then go and serve someone else who needs to be served, who needs to know the Lord. We have to note that there is a direct connection to being a good steward of God to our relationship with God. There is a direct connection as being a good steward of God, which is tied to our relationship with God. So what keeps you? So what keeps you from being willing to consecrate yourself, all you are and all you have, to God? I know that there are many things: money, time, intimacy with God, serving God and others. Especially when others are not grateful, it is really hard to serve. But God knows what you're doing. Who are we really serving, others, or are we serving God? Where are you in your consecration with God, your first or prior consecration with God? I mean, I understand we're all on a journey with God. Many of you have made some level of commitment to God and to God at this particular local church. And for that, God is grateful, and for that, I am thankful. We're all on a journey. A spiritual journey that on one hand is very personal between you and God, but yet is also very communal. One that is shared with others as we travel this thing called what? Life. And today, I think, is a great day to give more in your life to God. I really do. The same holds true for the church. God cannot operate without you. You are God's hands and feet. This is how God has chosen to work, through you, His committed people. Dr. Jeremiah wrote it this way, or he challenged me this way, and I'm in turn challenging you. If you were not practicing the principle of prior consecration in your life, draw a circle on the ground and tell the Lord that everything in it is His. And then step into the circle. If you have your scripture notes, I want you to draw a circle, big circle at the bottom. Now, frankly, what I want you to do is one thing, but what you're willing to do may be another. What I want you to do is I want you to draw a simple stick figure in the circle. And I want you to write these two letters above that stick figure. M-E. Now, my desire would be for you to totally commit everything you are, everything you have, everything you do to the Lord. That prior consecration. But maybe there's a particular area in your life where you really need to give it to the Lord. I don't know what that is. The Lord does. And maybe in this moment, it's one of those moments where it will be a first for you in committing everything you are, everything you have, everything you will be to the Lord. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Maybe the circle on the paper doesn't work for you. Maybe you really have to, in your mind's eye, be in an area where there's dirt. You got a long stick in your hand, and you just stick it in the ground, and you use yourself like a compass, and you draw a circle around yourself. Do you see that? Maybe your heart is beginning to pound because you know what I'm going to ask you to do. Again, maybe it's a first. First things first. But in this moment, to the best of your ability, say, Jesus, I step off the throne of my heart. Go ahead and say that out loud. Jesus, I step off the throne of my heart. And Lord, ask you to sit upon it. Lord, ask you to sit upon it. And whatever your will is, go ahead and say that, whatever your will is, that is my chief desire. That is my chief desire. All I am, all I have, is at your disposal. Almighty God, we are grateful for this day. For some of us, it has been a first to give everything to you. For some of us, we're renewing a prior commitment. Maybe we've slid away from it a little bit. Maybe we have not been as faithful as what we feel we should have been or could have been. But Lord, in this moment, we give everything we are to you. You are such a good Father to us. We were created to be yours, to be loved by you. That's who we are. And that, Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. And God, that you will lead us into living a life that is more glorifying to you than it was yesterday. Because our heart's desire is to be a good steward, fully committed, and fully available to you. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,